So in the little time I have left, let's quickly look at believer's authority. I want to quickly look at, I don't know, is the room cold or hot?
Hot.
Okay. Okay. I was trying to be sure if I'm the only one, but since we say it, let's enjoy the heat while it lasts. Yeah, but I don't know if there's anything we can do. I know it's the highest, but I'm just like, there's a way you always touch it that at times the thing will just start blowing again. I'm always wondering, what do I always do? Okay, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. How many of you were blessed in the first service? We give God praise. We give God praise. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition, strife, or conceit, but in lowliness of the mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Then he says again, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So in this portion of Philippians, Apostle Paul was trying to introduce a very, very important thought into the body of Christ. But before he did it, he quickly preached oneness, not just in heart, but also oneness in mind. They are two different things. Oneness in mind. And oneness in heart. And so he wanted to introduce something after this verse 5. But he wanted them to, you know, he wanted them to position their heart in a certain way. Like, more or less, like, receive this with unity in the heart. Probably. Knowing that when he says this, some people can just take it and run left. Or maybe take it and misunderstand it, or take it and abuse it. You understand? So he had to, that was it. From verse 1 to 5 wasn't his, the message he necessarily wanted to preach. Because it says in verse 5, it says, let this mind now be in you, which was also in Christ. So now we are looking at what he was trying to say. Let's go on. So this is the mind. Let's put it that way. Or this is the understanding. Who, being in the form of God, it did not consider it what? Robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. Now, this mind that we are reading, this is what Israel is yet to understand. I mean the nation Israel. You know, the nation Israel is still practically largely Judaism. And I mean, if you walk up to a typical Jew now, the idea of Jesus is still very strange. Like the idea of Jesus that we know, you know, they see him in a different light. You know, just like Moses and the prophets. And so the average Jew is not here. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I think for me, the nation Israel is a phenomenon. Honestly, it was this morning I was even like, now people you go, they really don't know Jesus like that too. But the way everything is built around them is amazing, honestly. I mean, if you take a census of the religions in Israel, Christianity is not, or let me say Protestant. Actually, even Christianity, yeah, because they have the different types of, what they do is not Christianity. Do you get my point? Yeah. But when you now come into the Christianity space, you have the Orthodox. You also have the Orthodox is the Anglican, the Methodist, right? Yeah. There's one I'm trying to remember. It's called Eastern something. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember that. So aside from even Judaism, you have other religions happening there, but the prevailing, the typical Israeli would be a Judaist, if that's, and they take the Torah. I mean, what their book is the Torah. And so many of the things that we know in Christ, they are aliens to, like, they consider it strange. You understand? And, you know, Bible also says that, you know, the nation Israel, I mean the physical nation Israel, will be saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? The outcomes will put themselves together, and the nation Israel will be saved. Now, how the nation Israel will be saved, I mean, we don't know. You know, whether there will be a revival of the men of God that God will send there, or a revival of people, or a revival of hearts, we don't know. But the Bible says so, that the nation Israel will be saved. The nation Israel will be saved. But Paul was admonishing us that there's an understanding of Jesus that I want you guys to have, and I want you guys to have it in one accord. I want you guys to... And now, you know, this church, it could be a case of you already have the Jews and the Gentiles maybe fellowshipping there. And the way the Jew will see Jesus is different from the lights in which the Gentile will see Jesus. And so... let's go back to, verse 6. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, you know, Apostle Paul was trying to help them understand that when you see him as a man, it's not that he's not a God. You know, he's in the form of God, but he considered it not robbery to be what? To be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, for many people that find it very difficult to understand the divinity of Jesus, this is what you used to speak, meaning like, how we say he's God and yet he was walking on the surface of the earth, he was hungry. Like this word helps that kind of a dialogue. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is what? Above every name. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you have any other thing? Okay. So when he said, let this mind, then he explained, you know, the person, position, and the principle. I think that's where I learned it. A very long time ago. Like the person of Jesus, the position of Jesus, and the principles of Jesus. He talked about him being in the form of God. So he's God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know. But he also said he didn't consider it robbery. Can we read that? This verse in Amplified. Who, although he existed in the form and unchanging essence of God, as one with him, possessing the fullness of all the divine attributes, the entire nature of deity, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or asserted, as if he did not already possess it or was afraid of losing it. So that's just to understand the posture of his heart. So that he was sent in the likeness of men, he didn't feel like he was less. Do you get it? He didn't feel like they cheated him. You know, like we read some weeks back that, you know, there are three, they are bare record in heaven. You know, that, you know, God through his son will give eternal life to people, and anyone that believes in the son would have life. If you don't believe in the son, you will not have life. They didn't argue over his position. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he didn't consider it less. He didn't consider it as if they robbed him. That's what I mean. He didn't consider it as robbery. Like they cheated him. Let's look at, I think, from verse 8. Let's go back to our NKJV. Where he talked about what God... go to 9. Yes. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now, and these are the places where you find knees. You find them in heaven. You find them on earth. You find them where? Under the earth. So this speaks about every authority. Whether it be an authority in heaven or an authority on earth or an authority under the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, glory of God the Father. So he says, every knee, anything that represents a knee, everything that represents a tongue, they will come to acknowledge the name that has been given to what? To Jesus. Hallelujah. So when Jesus, or what Jesus got, was an authority that is above every authority. You know, when he was going to, I think it was the experience of the madman in, I think it's Gadara, right? You know, when they saw him, they knew who he was. And then they made appeal. How many of you have had to cast out a demon that way before? Like, the demon recommended. Yeah. That's amazing, right? I'm not saying you should go and be asking for recommendation. What do you recommend? How do you want it? Do you want to go up? You might not succeed. Do you get? You know, every experiences of Jesus, they have their own lessons. You know, they have what it's trying to teach. As much as the experience itself is amazing. And so they told the demon, the man that was possessed with legion, he was able to identify Jesus, you know, as the Son of God, blah, blah, blah. And said, "Do not torment me." And 29. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains, shackles. He broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness." Are you sure we're reading the right place? Okay, okay. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." Now, all these things, this is not necessarily like the process of casting out. You know, if you don't have time, you can cast the thing out. You know, if you have time, I won't say you should waste your time. Do you get? Like, if you have time. Now, if you don't have time, yeah. You know, in the name of Jesus, get out. But if you have time, don't waste the time. Do you get? Like, don't waste the time. Just do what God would have you do. But Jesus asked him, he says, "What's your name?" What I'm literally saying is, like, don't take a doctrine out of this. Like, you know, sit down, "Demon, what's your name?" "My name is Guru Maharaji." How many of them are inside you? No, no, no. I don't think we are necessarily given to inquire in terms of that space of interrogating, because you don't get understanding from it. Jesus didn't get any understanding from what he said. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, when he says, "What's your name?" It's not as though Jesus does not know his name. So that he said Legion, it's not a revelation to Jesus. Like, "Oh, so Legion, Insha. Okay, if it's Legion, let me skabash small. Because now I have to deal with 1,000s of you." Because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Now that's the story. Like, the story is that Jesus cast out a demon, Sephini. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Like, you might run into trouble. Why was it pig? Why was it not goat? Goat are very stubborn. Like, what just happened here is the authority of Jesus being displayed. There's no necessarily a doctrine out of, you know, like I said, you're asking, "What's your name?" "Oh, yeah, Legion." Okay. Strategy from Legion is different from, no. You are not informed. You are not informed by the person you are meant to save. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, when he said saviors in Obadiah, saviors would go from Zion. They will go to what? To deliver and bring down the mountain of Esau. Now, when they get to the mountain of Esau, whether the mountain of Esau is bigger than the mountain of Zion is not a phenomenon to them. So they won't be inquired, "Is your mountain tall? Is it small?" You are meant to bring the deliverance. So you are not informed by where you are meant to bring deliverance to. Do you understand? You walk as God has revealed to you. That's actually even more powerful than the literal conversation that you might think you need to have. Particularly for some of us that find ourselves in position to cancel. And people tell lies, man. Oh, gosh. If you go for outreaches, well, you know people tell lies. I mean, like, literally. Like, the person you want to help. So after a while, I learned that you don't hear them. As much as you say, "What do you want us to do for you?" You don't hear, you're not hearing them. You are hearing what God You know, I remember there was one particular experience. The man told a lot of lies. Like a lot. It was God that helped. This man, you're telling lies. This is actually why you came. This is actually blah, blah, blah. And say, I'm going to my mommy. I didn't know you would catch me. You know. So you are not educated by the person you want to help. It's actually because you are going to help the person from what God will help you with. So it's not that the person said, I'm depressed. Then you now want to help the depressed. If everyone says he's a glutton or a gluttony or he spends all his money anyhow, that's why he's always down. If you are saying spirit of depression or come out, no, it's spirit of carelessness and recklessness that you need to deal with. So you're not informed. You don't get any, you know, it's just like a passing knowledge. Yeah, you said you are this. You said you have done this. You said you will do this. Yeah, it's just a passing knowledge. Then you are informed from Jehovah because you can't use the authority on the wrong information. Do you understand me? Imagine if a policeman is passing traffic in front of your bedroom. He says, what's up with traffic 1B? That car's passing. No, you have been wrongly informed, sir. He has the authority, right? Yeah. But he's in the wrong location because he got the wrong information. And so if he's in front of your house trying to pass traffic or in front of your room, you send him away because he's abusing the authority. Because he has been misinformed. And so, as children of God, we shouldn't be misinformed. Because you just be stressing yourself unnecessarily. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, believers' authority, I mean, first of all, authority in itself is, you know, power to, ability to enforce order over a thing or a circumstance. That's authority. So when you say you have authority to do something, it means you can enforce order. And whatsoever order means, you know. Now, but when we look at believers' authority is a delegated power to enforce order. Emphasis on what? Delegated. That's the difference between believer's authority and any other authority. The believer's authority is what is delegated, is being assigned to the believer. Now, that authority was given to Jesus. He says, every knee will bow. Every tongue will what? Will confess. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, from verse 1 to 5. Thank you. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of what? Of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his what? His commandment. For this is the love of God that we keep his commandment. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that what has overcome the world, which is what? Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So your overcoming, my overcoming, is hinged on our believing in the Son of God. And so this is when authority was transferred, or let's say delegated.
Yes.
It means when we came to what? To believe in the Son of God, we also had the opportunity to exercise the authority that was given to what? To Jesus. Let's move fast. You know, we actually don't have time. Let's go to Mark 16. So I said believers' authority is what is delegated. So every time you see yourself, you know, in need of authority, or you need to bring order into a place, at that point, you need something to be dealt. You are not meant to conjure. It's not, I don't have it, then let me do this to have it. Amen.
Amen.
And that's some of the things believers miss. You know, you go for evangelism and you see a demon-possessed person. And immediately you just know you've not fasted in 3 months. How I wish I had fasted though. Because literally, if you could fast at that time and make up for the 3 months, you quickly fast. And even at times, you feel better than others. I just came out of the powerhouse, you know, and then you feel like you can exercise. And see, it's good for us to exercise our faith in this regard. And that's why I always advise, if you haven't gone for an outreach before, try and go for one. You need the authority. Maybe in different cases, you know. There was a particular boy who went for an outreach at a border town close to Benin and Badagry. And there was this boy, he had never walked. I mean, he didn't have limbs. Like the thinking is, even when we heal this boy, there's no bone that he can, I think maybe it's polio or something. Like he was really he couldn't walk. And there are some cases he's healed in the name of Jesus. But this one is physical. Like, you can see the leg. It's not like they're saying, okay, you know, God will give you another kidney. You know, as you just go, God will supply another kidney. Or he has even given you another kidney. Ah, they confirm. We can't confirm. God has given you another kidney. And at times, yeah, he has. And when you latch your faith on it, you just find that you're healed. But this one is, there's no leg. You can see, all prayer champion, we just shifting in the name of Jesus. They brought the man, they just brought the boy to the inside. Everybody had to focus on solvable problems. It's not this one that my career will now spoil. And it's because usually there is the prayer secretaries that are in that room. Let me just go and coordinate, because my work there is to coordinate. Bring them. Because all those prayers, they've been saying, we prayed during our time, we prayed. Yeah. Yeah. So we brought the guy in. After the guy, then we brought a witch in. Yeah, since the prayers are around. What am I doing? What's my job? They didn't like me in my set, the prayers, because I was very strange. They even gave me a very funny name. They said I was going to sleep beside the door because I'm the prayer secretary. And because I'm a demon destroyer, I said, I didn't come and destroy demons here. Is that why I came for? So they put me beside. So I always sleep beside the door. And I said, wait, but there's window now. Are you not telling me that demons cannot pass window? Well, they put me at the door. And so they didn't like me for a lot of things. Then I'm the one that, when they are praying, I say, Father, we thank you, Father. Father, I know you are here. So, you know, pray, because you need to, you know, they were this, so they didn't like my calmness. It was as if I was possessed too. They can easily just pack me with the people that need help. Again, so they brought that guy, and some people started praying for him. You know, he had some healing when he was living. The boy had some healing. You know, the things he couldn't do before, like stand, it was able to stand. But I would literally still see, you know, the bones. I think it was polio. So he didn't have the frame. And there was no tissue. There was no muscle. I think the bone was there, but there was no muscle at all. So it was... For the witch got her fair share. Yeah, because she wanted to show us purpose. So she got her fair share in that place. And so it's good to exercise your faith. And that's what we'll do today. Hallelujah. And that's why we're also looking at believers' what? Authority. So we're not called to express a lesser authority than the believers of the first century or the believers in the scriptures. You know, Jesus said, greater works shall you what? Shall you do. So there's no civilization that has reduced or relinquished that fact. That in his name we will do X, Y, Z. We are still meant to what? Keep at that business. So it would be ridiculous for us to water it down. Things are not like that. No. You would rather say you don't have power and you trust God to walk in power than to admit weakness. So it would be ridiculous of us to put ourselves on a different pedestal with the believers of the hold, the saints that knew that Jesus said, greater works they will do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, like I said, this authority that was given to Jesus, it's God that was behind it. You know, God gave Jesus the authority, but the authority was delegated to us. And why was the authority delegated to us? Bible says we are seated with what? Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians. Let's quickly look at that place. Can you go to Ephesians 1:20? Let's read 1:20 first. Then we'll come here. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God is beautiful, right?
Yes, sir.
Can you back it up a little? Therefore, I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, this prayer, I prayed it for so many years in my early days as a believer, because this is actually the prayer of anybody that gives his life to Christ. You need to know Jesus. And you don't know Jesus by any other thing than the spirit of wisdom and the revelation, in the knowledge of him. Even the people that will teach you the Bible, they would have to trust God that this spirit will be engaging you. Because it's not like that's the first time you are hearing the things they are saying. So you need, if you would be a new convert that will not get lost, you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation at that time to fellowship with you as long as you need to know Jesus. Even till now, we are still engaging it. It's just that you are engaging it from a different level. Yes, from a different level. But then you need him as though he was everything that is available in God. Like, you know, there are other things in God, though. There's blessing, there's goodness, but you're not interested. You need to know the person that has everything first. And you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation in order to know him. Verse 18. I think this was also the follow-up verse. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? I think we're going to 20. So, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ. So you can see that this is where God worked this in Christ. He says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his what? His right hand in the what? Heavenly places. Far above what? All principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. So, sorry, hold on. So, when he said every knee, this is also a way to describe the knees. Every authority. These guys have authority, principality, power, might, dominion. Every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. Now that's authority.
Yeah.
And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So God orchestrated this. God made this happen. God knew that we would be at some place where God, because the life that we live now is no longer our lives, right?
Yeah.
We live this life by the faith of what? Of the Son of God, who loved us and what? Gave himself. Now, because he knows that our life will be propelled by the essence we draw from Jesus, Then they also said authority is one of the things we draw from him. Now, there are a whole lot of things we've drawn from Jesus. There's wellness. There's prosperity. There's even knowing the Father. There are a lot of things there. But there's also one thing that is there. Is the authority that has been walked in Jesus. So if you're a believer that you've drawn so much, but you've not drawn authority, there's still something missing. And like I said, it's not that it's something you want to conjure. It's not with you. It's not with you. Now, you will be the healer, but healing is not with you. Healing authority is in Jesus. You will be the healer. You would be the one that will raise the dead. Can we go to Matthew 28. Then we'll come back to Ephesians 2, 6, I think. Matthew 28. Catching you too much. You have to help yourself. Thank you. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, some years back in uni, there was a fellowship. I won't mention the name of the fellowship because it's also connected to a type of church. But somebody dragged me into their fellowship. And, you know, that they don't want to even know whether you're the president of the fellowship. You have to attend. If you are invited, you have to attend. And so I found myself in the room of the guy, and they were doing fellowship. I think they call it cell. They're doing fellowship. And why did I say cell? Some of you might already know. And so after a while, I just found that this guy was singing. So this phrase, you know, all authority has been given to me, that Jesus said it. He now changed it. He now removed the me. Now put him. So he now said all authority has been given to us in heaven and on earth. Now, authority was not given to us. Authority was given to Jesus. What we have is the authority in Jesus that has been delegated to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You know that simple analogy where we say that when we go to Jesus, very funny analogy is Jesus the Father is seeing? The Father is not seeing us. We are hiding behind Jesus. Yeah, I mean you're correct. You're correct. Because we came by his blood. Yes, sir. We didn't pay for our sins. He was the propitiation for our sins. And so anything that represents atonement is the one. So when they mention atonement, you can't appear. It's Jesus that would appear. And so all authority was given to what? To Jesus in heaven and on what? And on earth. Let's read on. Then he now said, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now when Jesus told them, you know, it's just like the day when he sent them, sent the 70, he went with them. So when he says he went with them, his presence was there, obviously. But the emphasis is his authority was with them. You know, just like when he told them to go and untie the coat. He said, if they ask you who said, don't say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you quote in LA, no, just say them, the master has a need of it. Like Papi said, you go and untie someone's, there's a ram in my street. Go and untie it. I always tell people that my street is not estate. I mean, rams don't live in estate. If our street chairman is hearing me, don't kick me out of the street. Yeah, I always, whenever in our glory, when they say, where do we, you know, when we are saying where we live, when I say we live in this area, other people say we live in this estate. I say, is this an estate? Do you see rams in estate? Rams. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the authority was given to Jesus, but that authority was delegated to us. So it's okay to say the authority that is in Jesus that has been delegated to me because I believed in Jesus. So that's where we got it from. It wasn't a Bible study that gave us the authority. Now, we will teach about the authority, but where and when we got the authority was when we believed in Jesus. So every child of God must know that he or she has the authority of Jesus because he or she believed in Jesus. You know, there's one analogy I want us to have. A lot of times, there are many things we exercise that are provisions that God has given to us. There are many things. But at times, it seems that believers are very okay. You know, when... this is the analogy. You know, it's like you want everything just to be fine. You don't want war. Right? Like, you just want things to be fine. Like, you want, if it's given to you, you don't want there to be war anywhere. Like, let the economy be going fine. Because you feel like, when there's war, spikes everywhere, right? Now that there's war in Israel and Hamas, some things would happen to the economy. They would say something as, you know, when Ukraine and Russia had theirs, it was energy prices. And they even said another part of it was even grains, because grains were coming out of Ukraine. It was energy that was coming from Russia. So grains was not also able to get to different parts of the world. Now, if Israel and, you know, like, when, I'm like, Charlie, Nisimi, let's just rest now. You know, if some of us had the, like, God asks you, what's the desire? Like, what's your desire for what's happening? Actually, it should not be. So for us as Christians, we actually love peace to a fault. Let me explain what I'm saying. So much when there's an enemy, we're like, how I wish there was no enemy. Like, we just wish the Garden of Eden can just be here. Like, everybody should just be fine with themselves. Like, nobody's hating on each other. You know, just love yourself. Do this, do that. And so that type of experience leaves us at a place where we lose God, actually. You know, believers are enjoying their Christian walk, life, marriage, until the enemy raises his ugly head. No. And so we're very shocked that how can the enemy, like, it's not at this time this should be happening. It's because in your mind you've declared a false peace or a false treaty. Like, enemy, you know I'm now on this side. Ceasefire. Hey, you can't catch me again. Like, you know, literally, some of us, we think the struggle was until you got over. Like, until, like, maybe the struggle, don't go to God's camp. Be in devil's camp, or don't go to God's camp. Then, when you now got to the other side, okay, at least, yes, I'm free. But Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, talked about the guy we are dealing with. I think it's verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant. Because when everything is going like we like it, actually, we like things being fine. Like, just wake up, go to work, get your salary, just come and praise God. You know, just have the life going in that sequence. No interruption, you know. God blesses you along the way, you know. Everybody's happy with you. But he says you are deceiving yourself, oh. He says, be sober. Because this false peace or treaty that you sent to the devil, he tore it. You thought he signed it. You signed it. He said, no more war. He removed the no. Then he said, more war. He says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So that false peace is not it. And so we are perplexed when trouble happens. Actually, we are perplexed, meaning we are lost in the wonder that there's still trouble in the world. Like, so people still fall ill like this? Yes, the adversary is still making people fall ill. Can you say, don't be perplexed? So he says, be sober, be vigilant, stay on guard. Stay on guard, stay on guard. You know, the funny thing also is, even when you now know that devil can do something, like, okay, can he just even do what will not spoil everything? You know, like, maybe you should just take my 1,000 naira. Like, maybe I should lose 1,000. But no, this guy, if he gets 1,000, he will get 10,000. If he gets 10,000, he would get 100,000. Like, he doesn't know when it's over. He said he's come to kill, to steal, to kill, and to what? And to destroy. He doesn't know he's okay. So we wouldn't wait and be lost in that devil is still working today. He hasn't stopped. He says right from the day of what? John the Baptist. The kingdom of God what? Suffers what? Violence. And the violent does what? Takes it by force. Let's go to that place in Ephesians 2:6, I think. Yeah, thank you. Can you do 5? Okay, even when we're dead in trespasses. Okay, go to 1, you know, for proper context. And you, he had made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you were once. You once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the what? In the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, right? Yes. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let's go to Ephesians 6:12. This is a very popular one, right? For we do not what wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, he had to quickly even out where we will be using the delegated authority. Because even for Jesus, the delegated, his authority was to deal or ensure principalities, powers, dominions, every knee under the earth, in heaven, on earth, under the earth, every tongue should be subject. So he quickly also evened out that so that you don't want to use your authority, the authority they gave to you, in the wrong place, your innocent neighbor. You know, he says, but against, you know, some of us, we dealt with our lecturers with believers' authority. You know, you're not meant to deal with lecturer. You know, some of us counsel lectures. Yes, now, like, because you believe the meeting time is clashing. There are many things you can do with the authority. There are many things. But it says that we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, these folks have assumed or presumed authority. Because where they operate, they have control over it. They bring order to it. You know, like I said, Authority is that you have the power to introduce order into a thing or a circumstance. So these ones, where they operate, they can introduce order there. But it now says that you have a war, and your war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against... Now, there are powers that are against successful marriages. Now, it says that's your war. There are powers that are willing to introduce the new age concept into the children. That's your war. That's your war. That's where he is expecting you to exercise your authority as a believer. Jesus will not come down to enforce the authority that has been delegated to you. You know, Kenneth Hagin gave an instance. He was with Jesus, and you know, there was a monkey that was just causing a distraction. He was polluting the atmosphere, and he was getting furious. Like, how are you? Like, I'm talking to Jesus, and you're just distracting. So he couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. So he was really frustrated. He wasn't reacting, and Jesus was just continuing the gist. And he was like, "But Jesus, you need to deal with this person." Then out of frustration, he now dealt with the spirit. And then the thing was whimpering on the floor. And then he now asked Jesus that, why didn't Jesus cast out the demon? Jesus said, I'm the one in awe that, why accommodate a demon like this? Let me just keep talking. Maybe he has a theology around there. Yeah. So he said that Jesus was also wondering what he was waiting for. So literally, a lot of things, Jesus is like, this thing is lingering. I'm just looking at the day this guy will rise up to the occasion. Yeah. And so we're not telling the devil to do small. Yeah. Because that's not even what he hears. Like, don't make it too bad. Get one, don't get all. No. Let us only be able, you know, at times we feel like the troubles we should have should not be expensive trouble. No. It should be 1,000 naira. No. There are many 1,000 naira problems that have ended the life after they've even spent all. So it's not, you're not giving. See, if you give the devil 5 meters, before you look left and right, he's already on 500. And he will most likely assume innocence. I didn't know I can even go 4 meters. So the way I'm even on 500 is God that knows. Yeah, because he's the father of lies. So he's not even the person you give him a sleepover in the house. Like, let him just sleep and wake up the next day. Before the next day, you have a house again. And so over the things God has put in our care, God expects that you exercise believer's authority. Your authority as a believer. Now, we've seen that God worked that authority in Jesus, and our believing in Jesus gave us the access and the privilege to have that authority delegated to us. And then God expects you that you show up. You know, at times we are waiting in places for God to show up, and it's God that is really waiting on us to show up. You know, I can never forget this movie that these Overcomers brothers did on marriage. What's even the name again? War Room. You know, if you see your marriage going down before your very eye, your cry will not bring it down. Your screaming is your authority. Is your authority that will what? That particularly at a time when you start seeing instances of persistent and consistent misunderstanding. Like, you're saying yellow. She's hearing red. She says red. You two are hearing pink. At that time, just the devil is out there on street 2. He's already nearing the house. And so you don't waste opportunities as a believer. That's why I say you exercise. That's one way to exercise your faith, is by what? Using your believer's authority. And like I said, this is not what anybody came to, even by knowledge. And when I say by knowledge, it's not that you went to theology school, me, I didn't go to theology school, that's why you know believer's authority more than I do. This is the right of every believer. Now, when we say that before you were saved, they could have been pressing on it. But after you have been saved, you are not permitted to even say that they can even have that opportunity. You know, I had a friend. Before he was saved, he would usually have bad dreams where they would tell him to come. Like, seriously, they would tell him to come and eat in the dream. Then he will flog hell out of him. His body will literally show the mark when he wakes up. When he got saved, he was looking forward to the next sleep. Then he slept. Then they came. He said he asked for two plates first. In the dream. Like when they served, he asked for another plate. Then he said he took the whip. And he ensured he flogged hell out of the masquerade. He said he ensured. He said that was the last time he had that dream. Yeah. And so as a believer, at that time, even the pastor should be disappointed that at that time he's waiting. God is disappointed that he's waiting. Because you know the frustration that brought you to Calvary. They now told you that you have something that will deal with everything that has brought disorderliness into your life before now. Then it's like a genie lamp. Come on, genie. We need to deal with this one. We need to deal with this one. We need to deal with this one. God expects that you're able to bring order to your life by the believer's authority that you have. So all disorderliness will not come while waiting for the master in the boat. He expects that you speak to the storm and the storm will be still. Allow him sleep. Many of the bangings on heaven is because people are not taking a stand. They are not appearing for heaven. Let heaven take a pride in that you showed forth. Because we have all of, for example, it could be with a relative. You know something is going wrong, particularly in the spaces that God has given to you. Now there are spaces God has not given to you. Like Papi would teach us, don't go to Aso Rock and climb Zuma Rock. Oh, you the spirit of Aso Rock. I summon you now. I need to fight with you people. No. That's not believer's authority. That one, what your eyes will see. It's only your mother can tell. Well, you might not even live to now tell it again. You know those experience that the guy is just on the bed. He can't talk. Hey, I'm Uncle Dorio. He was just screaming, the spirit of Aso Rock. We don't know what he saw. Yeah. Because when you know it's delegated, you should ask, did they delegate Aso Rock to me? If they don't give you, like for Daniel, he was given the deliverance of Israel. That was why he was able to make that request. And it wasn't going to be unjust for him to receive answers to it. It's not as though there were no other children of Israel that knew that the time was done. And even at that, he still faced the prince of Persia. Yeah. You know, there's one thing I enjoy so much in the scriptures is when believers can raise a lamentation. It's your believer's authority that gives you that ability. Yeah. Let me explain. Some of you might not understand what I mean by raising lamentation. Now, when God asks the prophet to stand up and raise a lamentation against something, is to exercise the authority and put that thing in its right place. When you see that your finances are not going as planned, stand up and raise a lamentation against your finances. It's not meant to be here. You are meant to be here. Nobody would do that for you. Because God might perhaps just even think you are fine. Or maybe you want to experience contentment in this season. And so we wouldn't be the one whimpering for the enemy to come in. Like, hey, oh God. You know, I know by God's grace I will never be like that again. I remembered an incident now. You know, armed robbers were just some meters away from where I was staying. And they were killing. This one was not armed robber that was robbing. You know, they're different robbers. The one that wants to rob the soul, that one, fear that one. If the one that wants to steal your goods, fine. But if the one that wants to steal goods also has the intention to kill, that one is We don't know where that one. God still has a lot to do in my life. So as we were approaching, I was staying in an hospital. All the nurses, they were just running up and down. Hey, I was also fearful because they didn't create any atmosphere. There was no atmosphere. And I was just, you know, growing in the Lord then as well. So I said, let me go to a room that I would not be able to hear them. The only thing I was hearing was gunshots. Like when they enter a house, you just say, pah, pah. Then they leave again. Then you hear noise as though maybe they killed somebody. That feeling that maybe someone saw when they killed somebody. So then they were coming close to the next street was the street. And that house was the first house on the street. And so the street obviously had gates, but they were trying to bring down the gate. I mean, police station was just some meters away. They were doing like it was a field day. I couldn't pray. I knew that if I can just get to pray, this thing will stop. I had more of trouble in my soul than the prayer to pray. Because they were just, we don't want to die, just running up and down the hospital. So when I found a word, I just knelt down. Still, I was still hearing the distractions, but I was really trusting God to shut off the distraction. And the guys were, hey, they are close. Oh. You know? It was serious. But after a little while, in that period, in that moment, I was able to kick. And I just, you know what is shaking tongues? Have you ever prayed with tongues shaking? I think that was the only time and the first time that ever happened to me. It was like death was around the corner. Yeah, it was literally, that was the only time I prayed with my lips shaking physically. And then I prayed. Then after a while, we didn't hear the attempt of breaking the gate anymore. Then we didn't hear their sound anymore. So it was later in the morning we now heard that those guys heard maybe the siren of police and then they ran away, blah, blah, blah. So they didn't get into that place. When I stood up from that place, I knew that the only thing I needed was to just enforce the authority. That's a threat to my life. You have authority over that. If I remember we actually even called the police before then. They didn't pick only God knew where they were. And so you don't see your life go. You can give it a fight first, and you'll find out that you always win. Give it a fight. Give that marriage a fight. Give that child. You know, a lot of parents have given up on the child. Give that child. Like, say, me and you enter the Sokoto. You will not get bad. Like, you will not get bad. A lot of us are products of parents that stayed through. Literally, some of us we did a lot of bad stuff. They stayed through. They said, this one, you will not go. Even though you have gone. Like, they are already hearing your reports. They still said no. So that's a mother enforcing her authority over her child. Do you not wish that her child was like another child? No. See, we need to learn to do business with believers' authority. See, there are many things that they've lingered on the table that they won't be taken off the table until you take a stand. They won't. Some illnesses are like that. Yeah. They're like that. I remember there was a time I was critically ill. I mean, it was terminally ill, not even critically ill. I mean, the doctor had given me my time watch. That's one very bad thing for doctors when they do that. Because it doesn't give any hope. And they give you the sense of do everything you can. The question is, I've not even started in life. What? Who do I want to go and greet? Maybe it's the people you have done life with. They say, we thank God, you know, God took us to Jordan. God took us to Ephraim. I've not gone to Jordan. I've not gone to Ephraim. And so they told me to go defer my admission, first of all. Like, that one is a no-no. Like, somebody in this state don't need admission. Admission is the least. Sorry, you don't need to continue. I was in my year 4, going to year 5. No, actually, I was in year 5. Yeah, I was in year 5. I was about rounding off my course. of study. And then, and I think this is the last one I'll share, then we'll pray. And then I was hit by a that was a very, very dark moment that I had experienced, or the darkest that I ever experienced. And so I was healed. I was struck down with 3 different terminal illnesses. You know, I was even literally asking, they hit me, but 1, 3. I was literally like, I'm the good guy now. Like, why? And see, as believers, if you think there's ceasefire, there's no ceasefire. So I was like, we've settled all the wars. Like, we said the Egyptian that we saw yesterday, we should not see them again. Because I remember them before I gave my life to Christ. I fall ill frequently. I wasn't a sickler, but I would always fall ill frequently. And so I was admitted to Luth. And typically, when they tell you that you are admitted to Luth, people are always asking, "Kilo shele?" Because the idea is, if your case has gone to Luth, I got that dura boy. And so many things happened. But I remember there was a face that I remember vividly. And, you know, the doctors had said so many things. You know, there was a senior reg that said I think in Luth they have this junior reg, senior reg, consultant. So the way they work is, if a junior reg says something, if the senior reg comes and says something else, it's the junior reg is in the water. I mean, you don't take that to the bank again. Then if the consultant says, all of your head is not there, this is what is happening. Nobody can say anything. Because it's also a teaching hospital. And the part that always even annoys me is when you come and use it for teaching. You can see this, the oblong gatis. You can see the way the leg is moving. I say, I'm just low and the river divide. I was like, God, hey, wherever this thing came from, hey. I was vexed, but all those were not working any righteousness of God. And so there was a period, a particular month, and a lot of things were stayed. Like I said, my schooling was stayed. You know, my project partner, that one was crying. Not crying because I was sick. He was crying because the project is in my head. I've not written it down. So it was already seen automatic carryover. So it was like, project. Because I was the brain of the project. I was to work on a pen reader, a biro that could read. It was an artificial neural network project. They gave it to both of us, but he knew he can't do it. So he said, Lalu, when you finish it, I'll defend. He actually defended a 10% of the project. He got his A. Because the lecturer didn't know what he was saying. Yes. Hey, he talked. Wow. Hey. So it was gone. He knew, he didn't know anything about it. He didn't even know how to go about it. So he knew that it's extra year for him. So, but me, I was on the sick bed, almost dying. And then, I think in June that year, I picked up a book to read. And that book was In the Name of Jesus by E. Hagen. You know, after I read that book, I finally understood that I have authority not to be on this bed. Now, I thank God for all the events that happened before then. But the events that happened at that particular time, they were very timely. Because a day after I finished reading the book the second time, the spirit of death came into that hospital and took 2 people. Like, right in my face. It's not like they died when I was sleeping. Then even at that time, I was the most healthy person in that room. With that baggage, I was the most healthy. You know, like, if you want to grade... I was the most healthy. It's me they can send here and that. Please let me look after my son. Like, that was where I was. You get? So, the spirit of death came. And at that point, I knew that if I wasn't staying on my authority, it's me that thing would come for. It came for the person beside me and the person opposite the person that was beside me the same night. One went at 4 a.m. precisely. I knew the time. It was right in front of my eyes. The second one went at, I think, 9 a.m. morning. When I finished the book, you know, the first thing that the authority that I knew that I had did for me first, it brought joy to my heart. I had not smiled for a while. That was the first thing I found out. Like, I've not had a reason to smile. And that's what happens when you don't remember that you have an authority in Christ. You know, that's one thing the devil will try to numb, that you don't have anything. Like you are helpless, you're stuck, you are done, you are gone. But that book brought a lot of, because Hagin was just writing different experiences of dealing, you know, he went to a church, saw a monkey hanging somewhere, dealt with it. It was so rich that I just looked up to heaven and I smiled. And I knew that devil don't enter. I think that was the last week I spent in that hospital. The senior red came and said, "Why is this guy here? He's not supposed to be here. See the report. He's not, discharge him." I could have told you a lot of, you know, at times you pray for healing, but what happened was this boy just needed to be in a state where he needs to know that he has authority in Jesus. Nothing else needed to be. They wanted to do blood transfusion. They wanted to choke my heart with something. I was like, "God, help me." But I needed to deal with the things I had authority over. The demons that were whimpering, that were just distracting my destiny. That was a huge distraction. Like a heavy distraction. And so if we don't take our stand in our believer's authority, devil is ready to have a field day. It's like just open the room for it. He has no bound. He has no limit. And some of us at times, the reason we've had losses was because we didn't, even when we know we had lost, we thought we had lost. But even this authority is able to recover. He's able to recover what is lost. That's why the lost child can come back home. He's able to recover what is lost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Take authority, take charge. Can we rise up on our feet? You know, this morning, in just a few minutes, I want us to, with all the strength and with all the grace that we have within us, I want us to take charge and I want us to take authority. You know, I don't want us to give any excuses. As the Lord brings to your heart, I want you to deal with as it comes to mind. You know, if you want to give yourself space, if you feel your neighbor is not looking charged, I want you to say today that I take charge over this affair. I take charge. I take charge. I decree the authority of Jehovah over this. Ibaro sike telegede manko baristara. Mando brendeli kadushta. Over that dying business, I take charge. Masuke manigadosta. Mande brike tu barista kabado shekete. Robo bo 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 yekete sika. Morustike teya. Morustike. Libri kitima mo shamana tika. Orodobokoto negede makapa. Mandosha. 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 Erubukutu mambaya. Endi barustike tika. Paya. Paya. Tushekete. Moriste ketimba. Maruste keteba korada labadia bota. Enimi kombadista. Mande, 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 mande. Take charge. Take charge. Take charge. Take authority. Take authority over your home. Take authority over your health. Take authority over your space. Take authority over the things that God is doing with you. Take authority over your delivery date. Masoko menika paya. Endem bendushada. The enemy has no way. Come here, Toka. Ebiria tenegademi upon delegademi shekete. Take authority over the day of your showing forth. Manote, manote. Emini upon te inema castian tot. Emini kushtega delegademi upon delegademi ataya. Rebebebe legede sheketea. Oro bobo yeketea. Eria manatuga. Things that have lingered over months, over years. Imanonta, imanonta. Eshomini kambini antondietis.
pray. Ishabela Tusa, Ebrika Telega de Macuste, Ebrika Telega de Madusta, Ebrika Telega de Maduste, Iredelega Telega de Macoprega Telega de Biotoshe, Eria Baba 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 Baba. Endo sabre geberwa gebato sepretinai radu sebe beberwa gede berwa dia matuatase emre keno sape hatoi ayerwa sabe beberwa tenia koiso emre heno sahate ayeru tene kapapapa radia nai emre dos sabe gebetu atine emre dos sepe ayerwa tene kai emre debele derwa te. I stand in the authority that Jesus has given me. Erusa pepepepe, Embra Cusca Panos, Alabaradin, Abaradadin, Abaradin, Imrosaka de Bone, Elder Saka de Bone, Elgusate Ate, Yersaya, Ababa Bamba, Ebreke de Berena Berriata, Redosa Pepe, Ayurasapa, Embreke de Pe, Ahalotos, Esabe, Alibranea, Aruakaya. Can you release the utterance of the Word of God? We stand on the authority in Christ Jesus. Erusai arando papa papa imrestepeti ayekote katoi eledebele debede imredasa papa akopata patai imretene eyeruasa ayababande patapa imrekatebe imredebete every delay eluto sakete ahatuse eruagebetepe imredebekaya apapa. The siege is broken in the name of Jesus. A siege of delay. Erusa Agabate Megabata Pata Imbrespi Alikoya Ayaya Yarukapatape Embradosate Egebedini Imbra Parapa Ebebe Apandoko Patabriata Erusai Ayababade Ebele Capeda Piata Embratos Este Ayayarta Ebredomanamiata Apaya Ebrede. Oh, ye problem, ye the word of the Lord. And it come to you today. Hey, Papa, is somebody declaring in the church? Itosikai Erwande Bede Ruatembe Erosatinae Ayosa Ayosa Ebebebebe Imrede Beledi Ebelede Ayede Minosa Agabati. Can you tell on the authority of Jesus? Address, address, speak the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Ayerusatene Abababalimba Ruatene Imregebele. For we have been given a name. A name higher than every other name that mention at the sound, at the declaration, at the mention of the name of Jesus. And to say, I am not going back home with my problem. I am not going back home with this delay. No, no. Can somebody refuse the devil? Atusakai Abadebe. Devil, your seed. Devil, your hand over my life is enough. Take your hands off of that business, of my family, of my job, of my career. Ekosike Abamosate Ayerwate Agaba Emredosapi. Open your mouth. You have come to Mount Zion. Atiamon ben yakosi beloshtia omia pombilia cambrianton de kebio uravi combia tasi obie botain kendoshige oria bendo simanondaya prosivene kura pratieko oria tek yole yele mokamene toshia yole teminu kumbele kitas. Abiria ndo bobo shika eria bele do shike mando shegebe
In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Father, we stand on our watch this afternoon. Because we understand that which we have in Christ Jesus. And to everything that has been raised in this room, those that are outside, those that are watching online, to every lamentation that has been raised, to every request, that order has been requested of heaven, there shall be a performance. We stand on our watch again. And we say that of every petition that has been raised, let your angels that gather the prayers of the saints, because we have done the right thing, which is to enforce the authority delegated to us. We say again, let there be a performance of your word. The last time we say, Father, because we are watching and we are waiting for the manifestation of all the petitions that have been raised in this room, we say again, Father, let there be a performance of your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We will come back and testify. Yes, we are, Father, we are saying to you, we will come back to testify. We will not delay. We will immediately, we will run down. Even those that are happening right away, we will not delay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, everlasting God. We give you all the praise, Lord. Can we give a shout to the Lord?
Hallelujah.